Okay, good afternoon. Before we get started, I would like to thank organizers who invited me to this school. I changed a little bit title of my presentation, and it today sounds like optical manipulation of electron spin and quantum dots. Clear that growing interest to electron spin manipulation in quantum dot connected with critical importance for quantum computing, and general interest to problem of quantum computing was initiated by Richard Feynman more than 20 years ago. So we can find discussion of many important questions which we are talking about today in his published lecture on quantum computing. However, the real boost this area of research was received after publication of Shor algorithm, which show that quantum computer would be very efficient in factorization of large numbers. Various US defense agencies are interested in this topic because such factorization is a basis for quantum cryptography. As a result, significant amount of money was invested in this research area because National Science, National Security Agency, DARPA, ONR, want to be sure that if such computer was ever to be built, United States would be country to do it. So major difference, quantum computer from computer is replacement of digital bit, which can be on and off state by a qubit, which is coherent superposition of on and off state. And David DiVincenzo were probably first who suggest the single electron in localizing quantum board is natural qubit. Really, universal quantum computation requires arbitrary qubit rotation. In the case of localized electron spin, it can be performed, for example, by local magnetic field. It also requires two-gate operation, which in the case of spin, it can be localized through voltage control spin-spin exchange interaction. And also, estimations show that because of long spin coherence time, we can perform many operations which are necessary for quantum computation. So, optical manipulation of electron spin allows us to realize two critical steps for necessary for implementation of solid-state-based quantum computer. It initialization one-qubit operation and optical method of initialization and manipulation special interest because they provide high-speed technique of spin control and manipulation and allow to access electron spin locally. So today I will discuss generally three topics. I plan to discuss three topics. It is non-resonant optical pumping of electron spin in negatively charged quantum dots. It is joint experimental theoretical investigation. Some proposal on optical initialization of electron spin by resonant pi pulses of polarized light. And again, joint theoretical experimental investigation on optical control of spin coherence and its initialization in charged quantum dots. So I will discuss a lot of experimental results and probably you can consider me like experimentalist of the week. So, investigation. I will talk about excitation, optical excitation of charged quantum dot, which are self-assembled during molecular beam epitaxy. Optical excitation of such quantum dot create a trine. The particle consists of two electron and hole, and this self-organized quantum dot has lateral dimension much larger than vertical dimension, which allow to characterize ground electron hole state, but the projection on this vertical axis, we serve as a quantization axis, and electron and hole spin projection can be plus minus 1/2 and plus minus 3/2 respectively. So resonant, the ground state of such optical excited trion is single trion consisting of two electrons occupying the same quantum size level with opposite spin, and hole in one of its plus minus 3/2 state. The optical selection rule for excitation of such trion, resonant excitation of such trion, are very restrictive. This plus 3/2 trion, for example, can be created only by sigma plus polarized light, only if the dot have electron with spin projection 1/2. And then the state can decay spontaneously only the same ground state, so electron will have spin projection 1/2. This sigma plus polarized light does not affect electron in the quantum dot, which have where electron has spin projection minus 1/2. So the photoluminescent polarization of this single trion is completely controlled by the Hall spin projection of these quantum dots. So we'll study non-resonance pumping of this electron in this charged quantum dots using photoluminescent polarization memory effect. The experiment was conducted on quantum dots which defined by interface one monolayer step fluctuation of in gallium arsenide, indium arsenide interface in 4 nanometer thick gallium arsenide. This gallium arsenide quantum well was embedded in Schottky diode heterostructure, which allowed to control charge state of this dot via bias voltage. The single quantum dot spectroscopy was conducted in Dan Gammon group and used metal mask with array of hole. The smallest hole has size 200 nanometers. And this figure shows schematically for the excitation of this small amount of quantum dots, charged quantum dots, and the photoluminescence through this small aperture. The sample was excited by non-resonance circular polarized light, and positively and negative charged trion can be clearly separated in photoluminescence spectra by the shift of the photoluminescence energy from the position of neutral exciton line. Here, this figure shows how this three line connected with positive charge exciton, neutral exciton, negative charge exciton as a function of bias voltage, which change charge state of the single dots. So what would be our theoretical expectation of photoluminescence property of this three line? If there are any photoluminescent polarization memory effect, so electron and hole remember the initial orientation, this strict restrictive selection rule would lead to positive polarization in all three lines. In the case of negatively positive charged quantum dots, this polarization would be protected by long spin memory of electron. In the case of negative charged quantum dot, this polarization would be protected by spin memory of the hole. In the case of neutral exciton, it's controlled by both. And now, what show us experimental data? You see that indeed, positive charged trion show positive polarization, which is controlled, as I told before, by long spin memory of electron. There's no surprise that no polarization memory in neutral quantum dots, because anisotropic exchange interaction splits the ground state of exciton in two linear polarized state, which destroy any polarization memory in zero magnetic field. But what is surprising really, that negatively charged quantum dots show negative degree of polarization. this means actually that not only hole lost its initial orientation, all the hole predominantly flip over before recombination. So in addition, you see that there is dependence on the bias voltage, and this negative degree of polarization can be transferred to the positive polarization. And further measurements show that the degree of photoluminescence polarization become more negative with pumping power. It shows that the degree of photoluminescence polarization of negative charge exciton depend on the pumping intensity. So what is the origin of this negative polarization degree? Why it grows with pumping intensity? It changes sign with bias. Actually, we were not first who observed negative polarization degree ensemble of negatively charged quantum dots. There were several papers before us. However, single quantum dot spectroscopy, which was conducted in our experiment, allowed to extract some important additional information which were not available in this ensemble measurement, and allow us to suggest the model that explains this unusual property, quantum dot, and also connected this property with optical pumping of electron spin in the charged quantum dot. So here I show you the quality of our model which explains property of this quantum dot. Optical excitation of, by sigma plus polarized light, for example, create bright exciton above the absorption band edge of quantum well, not very far. And during thermalization, some of this hole in this exciton flip the spin direction and create small amount of dark exciton at the absorption band edge. So rate of generation of bright exciton always larger than rate of generation of dark exciton at the absorption band edge. At the band edge, the rate of Hall spin relaxation, heavy Hall spin relaxation, is suppressed, and decay of bright and dark exciton go almost independent of each other. So bright exciton can decay radiatively or through, yeah? This always, if you go from the bottom of conduction valence band, there always mixture of light and heavy hole connected with momentum in the plane, which allow you to flip so-called light hole and heavy hole spin. Spin orbit, yes. During thermalization, it is not important coherent. It is not important coherent. So bright exciton can decay radiatively or can be captured on the charged quantum dots, create trion. For the dark exciton, the creation of the trion is the major mechanism of relaxation in first approximation. This allows to write degree of photoluminescence polarization in such simple form, where T up and T down a concentration of spin up and spin down trion. So you see the degree of polarization are completely controlled by the polarization of hole which create trion. The strongest and not very well justified assumption of our model is the capture rate of exciton, the quantum dot, is spin selective. And we assume that rate of creation of single trion as a result of capturing exciton is significantly larger than the rate of creation of triplet trion in the dots. And in this case, this degree of photoluminescence polarization can be written in such simple form, where B and D are concentration of bright and dark exciton in the quantum well. So you see that negative degree of polarization can be obtained only as concentration of dark exciton is larger than concentration of bright exciton, despite of the fact that initially we create small amount of dark exciton. This figure shows the kinetic equation which in principle allow describe these processes, but I show this kinetic equation only for one purpose. It is non-linear system of equation, because absorption cross-section of bright and dark exciton, the quantum dot, depend on the spin state of the quantum dot. So clearly the system can be solved fully numerically. However, in assumption, the whole spin relaxation is very long. We can derive some very simple expression which make physics of the creation of negative degree polarization in photoluminescence very clear. In this approximation, the concentration of dark exciton can be expressed through the rate of exciton capture on charged quantum dots, WN up, and concentration of bright exciton are determined mainly by radiative recombination of the bright exciton, 1 over bright exciton recombination. The concentration of spin up and spin down electron, also relative concentration, depend on pumping intensity. At a low pumping intensity, you see that concentration of up exciton decreases with the pumping intensity, which in turn decreases rate of capture exciton in the charged exciton and lead to accumulation of the dark exciton. This expression also shows that the efficiency of such process depends on the electron spin relaxation time in the quantum dot. So why concentration of the spin up electron decreases with pumping intensity? When bright exciton create trion and then it relax, it leave electron spin in the quantum dot unchanged. However, decay of the trion created by bright exciton, by dark exciton, flip the electron spin in the quantum dot to the opposite, what lead to the optical pumping of electron spin in quantum dots. So the concentration of dark and bright exciton, spin up and spin down exciton electrons, depend on the pumping intensity, and this is the result of the so-called positive pumping loop. So with dark exciton recombination decreases number of spin up electron, the exciton capture rate decreases. So dark exciton recombination also decreases, rate of dark exciton recombination also decreases. This lead to dark exciton recombination, increase accumulation of the dark exciton, and in turn decreases the concentration of spin-up electrons. And this explains why the process becomes more efficient with higher excitation power, because it's limited only by time of electron spin relaxation in the quantum dots. And that is explained why negative polarization degree increases with pumping power. Okay, this model also allows to explain bias dependence of the photoluminescence polarization. At low pumping, at low bias, we have just few electrons in the quantum dots and many excitons per any charged quantum dots. This leads to very efficient pumping of electron spin, accumulation of dark exciton, and negative polarization degree. In the opposite case of large bias voltage, we have many electrons in the quantum dots, few excitons per any charged quantum dots, no efficient pumping of electron spin, and no accumulation of dark exciton, leading to positive photoluminescent polarization. As I told you, the efficiency of electron spin pumping depends on time of electron spin relaxation in quantum dots. So not so many things can be done about electron spin relaxation time. However, we can erase spin polarization by applying transverse magnetic field. And here you see result of this transverse magnetic field. You see that magnetic field, transverse magnetic field erases electron spin polarization as a result of electron spin precession in the quantum dots. And indeed, implication of this transverse magnetic field changes the negative photoluminescent polarization of it to the positive. This experiment in transverse magnetic field allows us to measure also time of electron spin relaxation from half width of Hanle curve, which give time of electron spin relaxation in our negative charge quantum dots 40 nanoseconds. Here for comparison I also show the Hanle curve measured in positively charged quantum dots. In the same type of measurement give us 100 second picosecond spin relaxation time, which consistent with radiative decay time measured in this quantum dots. So this model allows us to describe quantitatively practically all experimental data which was observed in this experiment, and using the fitting parameter which we use for describe this data, we calculate Hanle curve for electron spin polarization in order to extract what degree of electron spin pumping we can achieve in reasonable, with reasonable pumping intensity. As you can see from this curve, the degree of average spin electron polarization in ensemble of our quantum dots was just 45%. It's not a very efficient way to initialize electron spin in the quantum dots. So to summarize that part of presentation, I want to say that optical orientation was observed in single charge tunable quantum dots. Theory explained negative optical polarization and negative charge quantum dot, which result from electron spin pumping, which lead to accumulation of dark exciton. Theory explained quantitatively many experimental data. However, it shows that non-resonant optical pumping is not the best way for electron spin initialization in quantum dots. Probably can be done better if electron spin relaxation would be longer, but it is limited by electron spin precession magnetic field of fluctuation of nuclear field. So now I would like to switch the gears and we'll talk about resonance optical initialization of electron spin in quantum dots. How we can initialize by resonant light. Actually, the optical orientation of electron spin by resonant light was demonstrated in atoms more than 50 years ago in a seminal paper by Brossel and Kassler. In those old experiments, circular polarized light drive electron from ground state to some excited state, which then decay radiatively two spin sublevels, which lead to depletion of optically active spin sublevel and accumulation of electron in the other spin sublevel. And this technique still in use in atoms for initialization of electron spin there. Unfortunately, this technique cannot be used in our quantum dots because photo-excited trion will decay in the same initial spin state. So it looks like that this optical pumping scheme would not work in our quantum dot unless we take into account either electron or Hall spin relaxation. So next let's discuss the major mechanism of relaxation for electron trion in our quantum dots. The electron interaction with hyperfine field of nuclei is a major mechanism of electron spin relaxation in 3-5 compound quantum dots. Although on average, the average direction of nuclear spin is zero, effective magnetic field of nuclei acting on the electron is never zero and determined by the fluctuation of nuclear spin direction in the volume of electron localization. This effective magnetic field of this nuclear field lead to electron spin precession, and in gallium arsenide quantum dots, typical, this decay, the precession time is order 1/10 nanosecond, which depends on the size of the quantum dot. It's necessary to notice that singletrion are not affected by the nuclear field, because neither hole nor two electron in singlet state is affected by nuclear in dipole approximation. However, the hole spin of this trion can be flipped over due to interaction with holes. And as it was shown by Tagahara, this is flipping is controlled by two phonon processes because of phonon bottleneck problem. And the rate of these processes goes to zero at low temperature. Now I want to show you how this Kassler scheme of optical ionization works if you take into account electron and hole spin relaxation. So I show you steady state electron spin polarization under some pumping like, which is independent of initial spin orientation. I show this dependence as a function of Rabi frequency, which proportional square root of intensity of pumping light. So you see that at a low pumping intensity, electron tries to stand at the optically passive, optically active spin sublevel. It has happened in the case when electron spin relaxation time is faster than hole spin relaxation time. However, intensive light, resonant intensive light, also suppress electron spin relaxation in the magnetic field of nuclei. And this happened because electron spin precession in effective magnetic field of nuclei is interrupted by fast transition of electron to the trion state in return. This suppresses electron spin relaxation in the high intensive light, and at the high intensity, electron does like to stay in optically passive spin sublevel, like in Kassler scheme, which allow in principle to initialize electron spin in the quantum dot using resonance optical pumping. However, this process, the process of electron initialization quantum dot in such situation should be comparable comparable with time scale of electron hole spin relaxation, which is very long and also require quite strong pumping intensity. What is clear, not the best way for electron spin initialization. So alternatively, we suggest to use combination of sigma plus polarized optical pi pulses and magnetic pi pulses of in transverse magnetic field. So let me remind you how magnetic optical pi pulses works. So intense sigma plus polarized light drive electron from the spin sublevel 1/2 to the trion state and then back with Rabi frequency, which proportional to electric field and the dipole element of interband optical transition. And here I show how electron and trion population depend on the time. You see that if you applied pulse, which duration is equal pi over Rabi precession frequency, electron completely transfer from one state, 1/2 state, to the trion 3/2 state. So this pulse would be called pi pulses, optical pi pulse. So we can completely transfer electron to the trion state if we applied pi pulse of optical excitation. These pi pulses of sigma plus polarization has remarkable property that if electron in the quantum dot is completely unpolarized, these pipelines create coherent superposition of 50-50 coherent superposition of strion, 3/2 state, and optically passive electron state, minus 1/2. On the other hand, we know that if you apply to single electron transverse magnetic field, it will start to precess with Larmor precession frequency proportional to Bohr magnitude and electron G factor. So this allows us to flip electron spin to the opposite one, applying pi pulses of transverse magnetic field, which have duration pi over Larmor precession frequency. These two properties allow us to suggest following protocol for electron spin initialization. The sequential action optical pi pulse and magnetic pi pulse allows to us to completely polarize electron spin in quantum dots. The first optical pi pulse would create coherent superposition of strion and electron optically passive state. The next coming magnetic pi pulse would flip over the electron spin component of this coherent superposition. At the same time, would not affect strion component of this coherent superposition. As a result, 100% polarized electron gas in quantum dot can be prepared with spin equal 1/2 after spontaneous decay of strion component of this coherent superposition. For realization of such protocol of initialization, the duration of magnetic pi pulse should be much shorter than radiative decay time of the strion. And this is a difficult technical problem. However, probably this protocol can be realized by using combination of the optical pulse and G-factor modulation of electron by electric field in transverse magnetic field. So to summarize this part of the talk, I would like to say that electron spin in quantum band can be in principle optically initialized by resonant intense polarized light. And we propose fast mechanism of optical initialization of an electron spin that use combination of optical and transverse magnetic pi pulses. All right. Now come to last part of my talk. And here I will discuss control initialization of electron spin coherent in ensemble of singly charged quantum dots, which was observed just recently in Manfred Bayer group in Dortmund in ensemble of indium arsenide quantum dots. I don't think that here in Santa Barbara I need to introduce Pamprof Faraday K rotation technique, which was used in this experiment to measure spin coherence. However, let me remind briefly how does it work. So first, pump circular polarized light create spin polarization of electron hole spin polarization in the media. And in transverse magnetic field, this polarization starts to precess. And linear polarized probe light can measure the precession of this polarization due to connected via rotation of vector polarization of linear light during propagation of this optically excited media. In quantum mechanical language, the precession is has meaning of the creation of coherent superposition state. In the simple case, coherent superposition of two spin electron state. And here I show again resonant optical excitation of charged quantum dots. Again, remind you that sigma plus polarized light create strion if electron in the quantum dot has spin projection 1/2 and doesn't affect quantum dots which have electron with spin projection minus 1/2. However, in transverse magnetic field, this electron spin projection are not good quantum number. And as a result, the sigma plus polarized light create coherent, some coherent superposition, which can be measured in this experiment. As far as I know, the Faraday rotation, long-lived Faraday rotation, have never been seen in indium arsenide charged quantum dots before. That is why I want to describe for maybe somebody samples which was used here. In order to increase efficiency of light-matter interaction, the sample contained 20 layers of quantum dots separated by 60 nanometer wide barrier. The average quantum dot density was 10 to the 10, and carrier was brought to the quantum dot through n-dot modulation 20 nanometer below each layer. Here I show the typical traces of Faraday rotation signal measured in these samples. You see the measured in for different magnetic field. You see in this time-dependent pump-probe Faraday rotation, first of all, pronounced oscillation, which with duration larger, the radiative decay term of Tryon, which was measured in these quantum dots, 400 picosecond. You see also oscillation frequency increases with magnetic field and also dump with magnetic field. And also you can see some additional modulation in this frequency range at high magnetic field. It's quite obvious that this long-lived oscillation connected with creation of a long-lived initialization of long-lived electron spin coherence, which frequency increases with magnetic field. And we analyze this oscillation using oscillation function with damp amplitude. And here I show how this oscillation frequency and this T2+ time depend on the magnetic field. The linear dependence of the oscillation frequency give us the electron G factor in this quantum dot, 0.57. And this magnetic field dependence of T2 star time clearly connected with dephasing, connected with dispersion of electron spin precession frequency, which controlled by dispersion of electron G factor. So this is simple expression describe this magnetic field dependence, where the solid line describe all this experimental data was fitted using dispersion of electron G factor equal to 0.4. So analysis of this data also shows this additional modulation always lasted shorter than Tryon decay time and can be clearly connected with the photoexcited hole. In magnetic field 5 Tesla, analysis of this oscillation give hole G factor 0.66 and dephasing time 117 picosecond, which pointed out that this dephasing time may be connected with the dispersion of Hall G factor or with some very fast dephasing of Hall. So actually optical initialization of this long-lived electron spin coherence was first demonstrated in single quantum dot experiment in gallium arsenide, aluminum gallium arsenide interface quantum dots in Duncan, Steele, and Dan Gammon groups. And theory of this effect was developed by in the group of Professor Liu Shen. And he also was involved in explanation of this experimental data. However, remarkably, the Faraday rotation amplitude in our ensemble measurement show non-monotonic dependence on the pumping power, as you can see in this figure. Here I show which never was seen in the single quantum dot experiment. Here I plot this Faraday rotation amplitude as a function of pulse area, which is proportional gate dipole matrix element interband optical transition and electric field of pumping light. So you see the Faraday rotation amplitude increases, then drop to 60%, and then you see quite damp second oscillation. So it looks like the Rabi-like oscillation. And we know the origin of Rabi oscillation in the interband optical transition. However, what is the origin of the Rabi-like oscillation in the Faraday rotation amplitude, which reflects coherence of the long-lived electron spin state? To analyze this, let's consider optical excitation of electron by sigma last polarized light. General residual electron can have arbitrary direction of spin, which controlled by this coefficient alpha and beta. Short pulse of circular polarized light with transverse external magnetic field create coherent superposition of electron and trion state. If pulse length is shorter than any decoherence process, which is radiative decay time, Hall spin relaxation time, electron spin relaxation time, this coherent superposition can be written in such simple form and uniquely controlled by the pulse area. So it is convenient to introduce spin polarization vector in order to characterize this coherency which created by polarized pulses. This vector here defined like here and represents three component of 16 component of time dependent density matrix that describe this coherent superposition. Here I show for example how this definition works. So if we have spin up electron, alpha equal 1, beta is equal 0. So the definition gives SZ equal 1/2. If electron spin is polarized along magnetic field direction, alpha and beta can be defined like this, what gives SX equal 1/2. Here I show how this vector polarization of electron spin depend on the pulse area. For two cases, when electron spin was initially polarized along magnetic field, and second, exemplified arbitrary spin orientation. So you see that in all cases, in both cases, sigma plus polarized always decreases as the projection of electron spin. The deviation of the projection of electron spin can be written in such simple form, and you see the maximum deviation can be reached for 2n plus 1 pi pulses. This explains why this pi pulses are so good for creation of coherent superposition, and why we see the maximum in Faraday rotation amplitude for pi pulse. Another interesting thing is that X component, the Y component of this vector, change signs with period 2 pi. And here. Which means that 2n pi pulses can be used for refocusing electron spin orientation in the quantum dots. Another interesting feature of this calculation is that pi pulses of circular polarized light completely vanish as X and as Y component independent of initial spin orientation. So now what happening after pulse? The off diagonal component of the density matrix is uncoupled, and motion of electron and hole spin polarization can describe by this two coupled vector equation, where we also introduce spin polarization vectors similar like we introduce it for electron. This equation allows in principle analytical solution on time, and here omega E and omega H are electron spin precession frequency in transverse magnetic field, and omega N is a precession frequency of electron in effective magnetic field of nuclei. After trion relaxation, the electron spin polarization are described by this oscillatory form with some amplitude as the infinity. And what is remarkable about this amplitude? That if electron spin precession frequency is large enough, when this condition is fulfilled, so electron spin precession frequency is much larger than reverse trion relaxation time, this amplitude is equal to electron polarization created by pulse only. This has happened because although trion decay always creates spin up on spin down electron, it decay a random moment of the time, and this leads to complete dephasing of trion contribution to electron spin precession. So now, everything what I was talking about was related to single quantum dots. However, in quantum dot ensemble, this dependence, time dependence of electron and trion spin polarization vector should be average over spin precession frequency. And I also would like to remind you that the amplitude of Faraday rotation angle is proportional to population difference of state involved in sigma plus and sigma minus state, so it can be written in such form. So it's proportional to different electron spin polarization, trion spin polarization. So averaging this expression over dispersion frequency allow us to reproduce experimental data which was measured in ensemble in Manfred Bayer group. In this theoretical description, we use parameter from experiment. So you see long-lasting oscillation in ensemble at low magnetic field, quite strong damp oscillation in strong magnetic field, with some additional modulation connected with interference of electron and trion contribution. This depends on good agreement with experimental data. So to summarize, we have shown experimentally, theoretically, that short pulse of circular polarized light with transverse magnetic field allow initialization and complete control of electron spin coherence in single quantum dots. For resonant excitation, the pulse area uniquely determines the electron spin coherence. And finally, spontaneous decay of trion does not affect spin coherence if this condition of strong precession is fulfilled. And thank you very much for your attention. Significant.
1,000 million.
I don't know. I didn't make estimation, but spot is quite large. It's micron. The micron 10^10. You can estimate it.
Do you anticipate significant problems with doing a similar measurement on a single dot?
I don't know. So you mean the observation of coherent?
Such theoretical issues, not experimental.
But in any case, you should make a lot of measurements. It is not in order to get signal from single dots. you also average over a million and million of measurements in order to get significant signal.
Temporal average.
Yeah, it's temporal. Yeah.
Coming back to your second topic, is that has initialization. How does the experiment compare to, you've seen the latest one by Imamoglu's group, where they use the fact that the silicon was not pure. In other words, there's a slight mixture of the two, they try and the delta spin and dumping trials. And they get very pure, but it took about 300 milliseconds to get the pure spin population about 99%.
So they use a Kassler scheme. Unfortunately, I didn't see the
thing.
They use a Kassler scheme. If you kind of break selection rule, another way to do it is if you can flip the light hole and heavy hole, which also will work in this case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the mixing is due to Bible very well, but they don't exactly pump the light hole and heavy hole. So it's all a matter of time. So
that is why this
has much faster time, right?
So the second technique should be initialization should be done, can provide much faster initialization. That is why I suggested.
Oh yeah, the one with the microwave.
Yeah. But this Kassler scheme would work if we have quantum dot where ground state of hole is light hole. And this would...
Why?
Because selection hole would not be as restrictive.
Well, this is they did it on the heavy hole.
Yeah.
So not very.
Yes, it also can
stick it on. So since you are the experimentalist of the week, let me ask you an experimental question. So in your microwave, so is that very easy to do?
It's very difficult to do because you need to. In order to have this, you need to have, say, you should develop magnetic field of 1 Tesla for the time of 50 picosecond, which is a very difficult problem.
I see. But I kept being told there's a microwave, it isn't like the microwave I used to know. You can do everything in a microwave.
This is what I got answer from experiment.